Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, August 14th, 2019. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 47, and we're reading and commenting on the third paragraph. It begins with, "That was great news to us." Today's readers are Bernie W. for the 12 Steps, Mary H. for the 12 Traditions, Kathy K., and Robin P. Ramona A. will greet newcomers after the recording ends, and then Leslie W. will come in with some announcements. Please stand by for those. Hang on for those. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 13270. That's 13,270. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 13273. So for Wednesday, August 14th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's 13273. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strengths, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There's no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Bernie W. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, I'm Bernie W. from Pennsylvania. Step
Thank
one,
you.
We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry it out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you for doing service, Bernie W. And I'll now ask Mary H. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is Mary H., recovered in Wisconsin, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, I'll pass. I'm grateful to do service today.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate that, Mary H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topics. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted using star 1. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostic. We're on page 47, reading and commenting on the third paragraph. And I'll ask Kathy Kay to please begin reading.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. This is Kathy Kay. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. That was great news to us, for we had assumed we could not make use of spiritual principles until we accepted many things on faith which seemed difficult to believe. When people presented us with spiritual approaches, how frequently did we all say, "I wish I had what that man has. I'm sure it would work if I could only believe as he believes." But I cannot accept as surely true the many articles of faith which are so plain to him. So it was comforting to learn that we could commence at a simpler level. I love this paragraph, and I really love this studying we've been doing in this chapter, We Agnostics, because I came to this program 26 years ago, a confirmed agnostic in all areas of my life. And I remember, like it was yesterday, my first meeting where I learned what I had, which was a disease, both spiritual and physical. And I also learned that what people found most helpful was a growing relationship with a higher power, which many of them called God. And when I heard that, I really adopted what I now understand to be that contempt prior to investigation that we read about in the spiritual experience. I closed the door, and I did what was suggested to me at that first meeting, which was take what you want and leave the rest. So I have to say that for several years in the rooms of OA, I learned a lot, but I was not open to the possibility that I could develop a relationship with a higher power. And that openness and willingness came about very, very slowly as I did what I could, what I was willing to do. And so for me, it started many years ago with disciplines like practicing prayer, using the prayers I heard and read about in the Big Book, and saying them on a daily basis without really having a clear faith or belief that there was a higher power that would receive my prayers. And little by little over time, I'm not sure how it happened, but that consistent practicing of prayer and listening to meetings and working with sponsors gave me a foundation such that my willingness grew. And over the years, I have indeed developed a sense of a power greater than myself, who I now call God. And it's a power that I retreat to, internal to me, every day, many times a day. And it's there that I find the wisdom, the peace, and the clarity to take the next right action. I hope I can impress upon newcomers that I was agnostic as one can be, and yet by putting forth enough the willingness that I had to do what was suggested to me and to follow the directions in this book, I was able to finally develop that relationship and continue to do so today. So I'm very, very grateful, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kathy Kay. We're very grateful for your share as well. Right. So who'd like to comment on this, the third paragraph on page 47?
John Kay.
Don B.
Darcy
Don
C.
K. Don B. Darcy C.
Kathy
Laura
R. Rachel P.
Okay, then I heard a whole bunch of names together. let's try that
Kathleen
again.
Kathleen O.
Laura R.
Laura R.
Penny
Rachel
L. C.
P. Penny L. C. And I think I heard a Rachel, so we'll put you at the beginning of the next lineup. And okay, so I have John K. Is it? Dana W, no, Dawn D, Darcy L, I believe it is, Kathleen O, Laura R, and Penny L C. So John K, please go ahead, and you're followed up by Dawn D.
Thank you. My name is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. I love the fact that this chapter is called We Agnostics. You know, there is a two the employers, two wives. But here they're saying we, as in we've all been there. We've all had our struggles with having some concept, you know. And my story was when I first came to my first program, which is AA, I so desperately needed what it had, but I battled because the God thing, as I like to call it then. And, you know, I was arguing with a guy about it at a meeting, and after the meeting, actually. And saying, I can't be part of this religious program. And he's like, no, it's a spiritual program. And I said, no, and I pointed to the steps, and pointed to everywhere where it said God and where him was a capital H. And he looked at it, and he said, okay, leave it out, you know. And I'm like, what? He said, look, right now your disease is looking for any reason to go out the door. What could be better than that? He said, the only, you know, you can be here. I remember him telling me, you can be here till you're 100 years old. Nobody's ever going to tell you have to believe in anything. Nobody's going to definitely tell you what to believe in. The only thing we ask is that you just try and keep an open mind. And that was the key for me. Because I now didn't feel any pressure that like, you know, the cult was going to get me, I could come to some kind of understanding. You know, and it took a while. I like it. It says in the spiritual experience, I had to be willing to put aside my contempt prior to investigation because unlike Bill W., who did have a transformative spiritual experience. Mine was of that educational variety it talks about in the spiritual experience. And I got to tell you, I believe all addicts need a number of levels of higher powers, plural. You know, I love the AA concept of God as this as a grounded out thing. In other words, God, myself, and another human being. I think that is a key. You know, I always joke I can go off and try and commune with God, you know, go to the top of a mountain and meditate and come down convinced that chocolate's a vegetable, you know? And then I call my sponsor and he's like, nah, not for today. But, you know, I need that grounded out thing because I have a disease that distorts my thinking. And I can't tell, even if I'm doing sincere prayer and meditation, what's the voice of my higher power versus what's the voice of my disease, just doing a very good impression of a higher power. And so I need both. I need a higher power and I need, you know, what I believe is you know, God delegating to others to help, you know, with me. I need that. You know, it says in the AA 12 and 12, going it alone in spiritual matters is dangerous. I really believe it. I also had trouble with the word God for many years because, again, I had a lot of stuff folded in from my childhood. And I finally realized, look, it's a nice three-letter, one-syllable placeholder that means something different to everybody, you know. And they slowly did grow and get a sense that there's just something, some power working with me. And again, like I always like to say, my higher power is my partner, not my servant.
Gentle reminder.
There to help me. Yes, I'll wrap up. It's there to help me and help me give me the power, but it's not going to do it and it's not going to gift me with anything. I still have to do the work. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, John. Don D., you're up next, followed by Darcy L.
Good morning. This is Don B. from Southern California. And yeah, this is a wonderful paragraph. I love how we only need the willingness to believe. We don't need to have it all figured out. For me, I'm reassured by the willingness. That's all I need is the willingness. And to me, my higher power is something that my mind, it's like if your higher power is something you can understand, then it's not big enough to solve your problem. So it's comforting for me to know that my higher power is beyond what I can possibly begin to understand with my mind. And also, it's a beautiful thing for me to focus on that the love that my higher power has for me and my family goes beyond what I can begin to understand. So I am loved in a way that I can't even begin to wrap my mind around. And I love that thought. I love those feelings that I'm being carried by my higher power and I don't need to worry that all is well because my higher power is in charge. So I don't need to struggle anymore. I can relax. I can relax in the loving arms of my higher power because my higher power already has it all figured out. And my higher power isn't worried about my situation, isn't up there stewing and fretting about what's going to happen next. My higher power is perfect and absolute peace. And so I can choose to focus on that and rest in that every morning. And all I need is the willingness to believe in this. I don't need to have it all figured out. And I can know in my heart all is well. All is well. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Don D. Darcy L., you're up next, and you're followed by Kathleen O.
Good morning. This is Darcy C. from Kentucky. Can you hear me?
I can. Sorry about that, Darcy C. Thank you.
No problem. No problem. Thank you for your service. So for me, I just thought when I came in, and I've actually been exposed to the 12 steps for many years with an ex-husband's recovery journey in AA. So I knew that there was a big focus on God. And, you know, when I first started into OA, I thought, well, I've got that one, you know, this should be, you know, fairly easy. And, you know, through my struggle since coming into the rooms in October, just up and down with this, I realized that every day that I am more and more willing to fully surrender. God is revealing to me little things at a time, little pieces at a time. But I'm starting to just see that he's different or more than what I always thought. Like I'm doing my best to let go. I think he's revealing little bits at a time. But I also am saying every morning the set aside prayer, you know, I just need to let go of everything I think I know to be true. I thought I knew everything. I apparently don't. So just being willing to be extremely open. And just to have a more open mind and be ready for a new understanding of who God is and who he wants me to be and who he wants to be in my life. So I think this is just has been so much growth for me, and I'm grateful for the lessons. I hope I don't have to go out and learn anything else hard. You know, I just want to continue this daily surrender. Because I'm loving, you know, that I am feeling that relationship grow in a new way. But it is truly taking everything I think I've ever known and surrendering and letting go. And I never knew how hard that could be. But I'm grateful that I have you all to just remind me that I don't know everything and that I have to be open to these new ideas and a new understanding. So that's all I have to share. Thank you all for being here. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Darcy C. We have Kathleen O up next, followed by Laura L. Please go ahead, Kathleen.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. So it was comforting to learn that we could commence at a simpler level. And commence, you know, to begin, to start something. I had to start somewhere, but spiritual principles? Couldn't you just give me a diet that works? I mean, I was that touchy person who was antagonistic when it came to the word God. And spiritual things didn't make me bristle so much, but the word God certainly did. But just as I believe in technology, I can't understand. I had to think differently and believe, because I was seeing this God thing work for so many people. I had to stop fighting the idea that there isn't a higher power. So it was a matter of really just simplifying things. My ideas weren't working. My logic and knowledge got me absolutely nowhere. So I had to think outside the box and think differently. And, you know, it's pretty simple. So if you're having trouble with the God part of the solution, just trust. Trust there might be something different that just may well work. I found that to be true for me. And not being able to stop eating, binging, thinking about food 24/7, you know, it's a great persuader. But we can recover if we don't close our mind to spiritual concepts. And, you know, the definition of recovered is a return to a normal state of health, mind, or strength. And we actually get all three of those. But the health part, oh my gosh. Imagine eating a meal, enjoying the meal, nourishing your body with healthy foods that makes you feel good, where you feel light and energized at the end of the meal. I used to mourn the end of the meal. I don't do that anymore. I mean, imagine not wanting all the previous binge foods, those food items that truly destroy the body that houses our soul. And I had to kind of look at it that way. You know, a week ago, I was marveling at my five-month-old grandniece, who's at the age where all you have to do is look at her and smile, and she gives you this big smile back. I mean, babies are just so precious. And I realized looking at her perfection that we all came into life as a newborn baby, you know, pure and perfect. And somehow along the way, I destroyed this gift, this perfect body I was born with food. And so with the help of a higher power and really truly bringing God into each meal, I found that I don't have to eat compulsively. I've changed my habits, and by staying connected with my higher power, I'm able to make the right choices, and I've returned to a normal state of health and a normal body weight. I mean, it's a miracle. And if I knew believing in a higher power and working these steps would accomplish this, I wouldn't have spent so much time fighting the idea of God and a God that is able to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And thank you for your service this morning, Elaine, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Kathleen. I appreciate it. And Laura L., you're up next. And followed by Laura will be Penny L.C., and then we'll take a new lineup for people who want to comment on page 47, paragraph 3. Please go ahead, Laura.
Hey, this is Laura R., a compulsive overeater from Colorado. No worries. Oh my gosh, what an amazing paragraph. I am so grateful for it. I was writing on it the other day, you know, because again, God is so big. I remember once I heard a speaker talk to a group of people when I was listening to a speaker tape, and he's like, "Who of you has questions about God?" And supposedly one person raised their hand, and he said, "Really? One of you? It's God. You guys are all liars." And I just laughed at that because it's God. Like, it's just so deep. And I am so grateful, like the previous speaker said, like commence is to start. But I was just writing about it, and I'm wondering if I can just stay at this simple level constantly, because it's when I can go down the rabbit hole of God and religion and what's right and what's wrong and what's this and what's that, and I turn so upside down, you know, and get so confused, and then my ego gets in the way, and it's just devastating, and I don't even realize I'm doing it. You know, I want to read something. It's in the 12 and 12, and it says, you know, we had always said, grant me my wishes instead of thy will be done. The love of God and man we understood not at all. Therefore, we remained self-deceived and so incapable of receiving enough grace to restore us to sanity. And that's what I've always done. Like, okay, God, grant me my wishes instead of your will, not mine, be done. And oh my gosh, the love of God and man we understood not at all. Absolutely. Like that's where that, you know, personality trained sufficient to overcome alcohol or, you know, overcome food starts to occur later down the line as we get through the steps. It's never been about you. It's always been about me. It's never been about God. It's always been about my wishes. And I love this at the end of the step two. It says, true humility and an open mind can lead us to faith. And every AA meeting is an assurance that God will restore us to sanity if we rightly relate ourselves to him. And for me today, God, I have got to enter into my relationship with him with humility, with gratitude, at a simple level, and rightly relating myself to God. I mean, just, I'm not it. On my knees, I need help. Please help me with everything. Because when I start to get too big for my britches, I just stumble all over myself and start playing God, as heard someone speaking about in the last hour. You know, I become God, and it's awful. And again, so I'm trying to work God right now, at least today. And again, God has changed so much over the years for me. I just actually did a inventory on religion because I was so angry. I have, like, my husband's Mormon, my mom's Christian, I had Jehovah's Witnesses at my door, you know, my old sponsor's Jewish, like, what the heck? It's so confusing. Once again, got too ahead of myself. Okay, God, loose garment. I just know that your power, you're good. God is good, and he loves me. And that's where I'm at today. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Laura R. Penny L.C., you're up next, and then we'll take some new shares on page 47, paragraph 3.
Good morning, Elaine, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And as the shares were being given, I just was given a stream of thought, and I'll just share it. A little belief, a little bit of belief is enough. That's what I'm told in the passage in the back of the book in the spiritual experience. So no matter what my belief or my non-belief was, I came to understand that my higher power had been food. That was my truth. So what was I believing? That the food was my solution? So what am I open to believing? And as I do, and as I look at that, not comparing to what others believe, or any concept of things I think I should believe, but truly allowing myself to discover what works for me. What do I need to believe for my trust and reliance to change from food to a higher power of my own conception? what does that conception need to include? I simply need to be honest with my thoughts and beliefs, open to new beliefs, and willing to change. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Penny Elsie. Okay, I have Rachel P. down first on the list. Who would like to comment on this powerful paragraph?
I
Lisa
know, yeah.
J.R. Oh, goodness. I heard Lisa J.R., and I didn't really get anybody else. Can you, Mary?
Mags C.
Mary and Mags.
Danielle F.F.
I heard Danielle and Ida, and I think that's all we have time for, and I didn't get some of your last initials. So I have Rachel P., Lisa J.R., Mary, Mags C., Danielle F., and Ida. So please go ahead, Rachel P. You'll be followed by Lisa R. I mean, J.R.
Hi, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. I love this paragraph. It totally resonates with me. The very first time I came into an OA meeting was about 7 or so years ago, and I was desperate after a binge, and I Googled, like, can't stop binge eating, and an OA popped up. And I went to a meeting, and the moment I heard the word God, I wanted nothing to do with it because I had hardened my heart to the idea of God. I wanted nothing, absolutely nothing to do with any kind of higher power, anything that I equated to religion, because I was raised religious and I lost my faith and I became a very staunch atheist after my mom died. Although at the time I didn't equate my loss of faith with my mom's death, but now I do in hindsight. I didn't understand the difference between religion and spirituality. That was the key for me. You know, I thought that wanting anything to do with God would mean that I would want to go to church, that I would need to go to church, that I would need to do the rituals, that I had to have a very specific idea of God. I didn't understand the concept of a higher power of your own understanding. And when I came back into the rooms last spring, so just over a year ago, I was desperate enough and willing enough to have an open mind and to try to understand this concept and to let it be available for me. And I'm so grateful for that gift of desperation. You know, I remember when I was an atheist in my teens and my early 20s and mid-20s, I would look at religious people and think, you know, I wish I could be like them. I thought that I was so much smarter than them because I just, the religion thing, the God thing couldn't click with me. But when I was finally able to open my mind up to the concept of a higher power, and I would not use the word God at the time, I just used the word trust. It just had to be something greater than me that I could just give up control to because I had been trying to control everything, especially my food and my exercise for so long, and I just had to give up that control in order to try to get recovered. And when I was able to do that, I was able to have a spiritual experience as a result of working with them. It's such a gift. So if you're new and you don't like the word God, I was right there with you. Just stick around and just try to have just a sliver of willingness and you'll get there. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Rachel P. Lisa J.R., you are up next.
Good morning, Elaine and everybody. I'm Lisa J.R., grateful today. And thanks all for your service. Thanks, everybody, for being here this morning. I wish I had what that man has. I wish I believed as he believes. At times, when I read that, it screams inadequacy to me, because I know that compare leads to despair. I know that very keenly. In my recovery, that kind of envy is like a flashing yellow caution light, you know, telling me something is really wrong and I better address my heart, give myself a good heart check, and give my program, you know, get that plumb line out again and check my program. So I love what our, Leia says. She always is asking people to share, jump on in, the water's warm. And I think about that, and I think, you know, if I want what you guys have, I have to do what you've done. So when I understand my powerlessness and, you know, and just have enough willingness to believe that there is a power out there, that my God is mightier than I could ever think about. If I could write a job description for God, then he's inadequate, frankly. I've just got to believe that, think outside the box, that God is mightier than anything that can be contained in a box. So all I've got to do is have that willingness and reach out for that flimsy reed and really learn that it really is the hand of God. So, you know, again, I echo, if you're new out there, just jump in. The water really is warm and you're not going to drown. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa J.R. Mary, you're up next. And if you could give us the first initial of your last name, that would be great.
Hey there. This is Mary H. in Wisconsin, recovered. Thanks. I'm glad to be sharing today, and thank you for timing me. I just love how it's just practical. It's just so, that's what this whole book is. It's just this practical program of action. So when I say to myself, well, I wish I could recover, but all these people are talking about relying on a power, and I don't have it. I don't have it because I'm in the food every day. No matter how much I try to stop, I can't do it. No matter how much I try to pray, it doesn't work. No matter how much I try to whatever, you know. And so what is it saying to me here? Well, I can commence at a simpler level, sort of like summing up everything it said in the last few paragraphs. So not only do I not have to believe in what these other people believe in, which I don't even know what that is, right? It's just my impression of what they're believing in. I get to be looking at my own conception of God, however limited it was. It even calls that out. However limited it is, no matter how insufficient it seems to be, I can use that. And then I don't even have to believe in it, but I do have to be willing to believe in, like, the possibility that it's there. You know, it said in that spiritual experience, you know, any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems can recover, provided he doesn't close his mind to all spiritual concepts. So it's like, I don't even have to know what's going to be there when I open the door to a spiritual awakening. I just have to be willing to, like, the door open just this like tiny bit. I'm willing to believe there's something back there that can help me, you know. And it's also practical because at some point it's, what choice do I have? Either I can creak that door open or I can continue committing suicide, you know. And there are so many times in this book and in the 12 and 12 where it says, you know, John Barleycorn was our best teacher. Alcohol is the great persuader. You know, Bill says in his story, I was a denizen of King Alcohol's realm. You know, so we can commence at as simple a level as we have to, wherever we are. It says here we have to begin somewhere if we wished to grow. So really it's a matter of, do I wish to grow? Do I actually want this today? Because if I want it today, it's there for me. And there are all of these people who have what
gentle
I want,
reminder.
who started where I started, which was just with this teeny tiny creaked open door to the possibility of a power greater than myself. So thanks for letting me share it. That I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Mary H. Mag C, you're up next, and you are followed by Danielle S.
Hey, everybody. This is Mag C from Denver, and I do love this whole
this whole chapter, because it is, it's about who I am and how I kind of came into this program. And I really like what Mary just said about it. It's a practical program. And when I came into the rooms, I was mainly restricting and changing as well. But what I found, what was the miracle to me is that I found trust in the fact that I could have a food plan where I could eat three meals a day and not gain weight, instead of just eating that one little thing of trail mix for lunch and then exercising for 4 hours after that. You know, I didn't have to live that way anymore. And when I found out that by eating clean and be eating healthy, I could actually feel better, think better. My neurons work better and my body did not change in size. That was a freaking miracle to me. And I had done Jenny Craig, I had done Weight Watchers, I had done Nutrisystem, I had done so many different things. And I think because of having a group of women and men that were committed to a certain program that was free and that I could completely turn my back on and walk away from if I wanted to, and that there was no penalty for doing that, I slowly began to trust in the safety of this type of group. And then I did the steps, and I'm like, oh, that just blew my mind, that I could have a different way of coping with life, that I had skills now that gave me more grace in this life, that I could get through problems like divorce and changing jobs and then moving to different states and getting married and having financial straits. And I could get through those things with a little more grace because I was learning those life skills that I had not practiced or learned before. And so for me, this realm of spirit is super broad. I am agnostic. For 15 years, I've been trying, and really beating myself over the head for not being able to believe in an entity called God. And it has given me so much strife in my program. And so in the past few years, I've let that go, and the blessed relief that it didn't matter what I believe. It doesn't matter. Thank you. It doesn't matter. I just have to accept that there is a safety net around me now that is not just made up of my own thoughts. And this program does work. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, Maxie. Danielle S., you're up next, followed by Ida A. Danielle, tell one to unmute.
Can you hear me? And sometimes for some reason it mutes and unmutes. Okay. Okay, good.
I hear you now. Thanks.
Okay.
And it's a little far away. If you can adjust your speaking, that'd be great.
Okay. Is this better?
Much better. Thanks.
Okay, good. Hi, my name is Danielle FF, and I'm very grateful to be at the meeting today. You know, it's interesting. The first thing I heard when because I got a little bit late, I had to go take care of my daughter in the play area, came back on the phone, and the first thing I heard was the willingness. And I opened up, I'm on a forum for moms, and I opened it up while I was listening, and it said the willingness. It was exactly the same, so I'm guessing everybody's on the same paragraph today. And I always ask, like, what message do I need today? And a lot of me, when I first came in, I've been in program for a long time, and I've been actively working my program for a really good chunk. And I have about a month left of pregnancy, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little less. And I looked on my food plan, and right now I have like 75 days of writing my food down. The first 4 months I couldn't eat anything, unfortunately, so I didn't bother with that. But I have been actively doing it. And on occasion, there have been days where we go out and I haven't been as prodigious. And I just allow myself to make sure that I'm still eating within my parameters and I don't beat myself up. I'm doing the best I can. I have an active toddler and, you know, our days out are going to a midwife about an hour to an hour and a half from here. So it's not like, you know, just sitting around. And I get back on the right next day, write all my food down, and it takes away one less thing for me to have to think about. In that, the willingness, though, is to keep up to taking care of myself, knowing this is the right, this is the healthiest thing I can do for myself right now, that I'm exercising, and I made an agreement. I talked about this, I think, last week on a meeting with my husband to not do weights anymore. Just getting to a point where it's just wearing me out and I'm burning a lot more calories. And with God, I don't know. Sometimes I call it God. Sometimes I call it universe, spirit, all that is connected, the higher version of collective consciousness. I mean, it really doesn't matter to me in my world. This is my world I'm cultivating that I have to be happy in. And what I realize that with my higher power or with my higher self or my collective consciousness or once again, whatever you want to call it, I have to be contented with that relationship. So if that relationship seems magical to somebody else or far-fetched or doesn't work for them, then it's not the right one for them, but it is for me. And it has taken me years to disconnect from the messages that I was given as a young person, you know, at a punishing God or a testing God or a God that expected certain things from me and I was just never enough, to cultivating a relationship with, right now I'm cultivating, I don't have parents.
Reminder.
Oh, thank you. I don't have parents. I've cultivated what I would consider the most blessed mom and dad I could think of. And it is the most gentle, loving relationship, and it's changing my relationship with my daughter, because it's changing the one with me. I'm rewriting my past right now, and I'm rewriting, because of that, it's changing my future. I'm looking at how my relationship is with my higher power, my inner world, and that has to be the most comfortable thing for me. So I like that we get to choose our own. I don't think I could have done it any other way, and I'm so grateful for OA and for all of you being there. I love this group, so thank you, and I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle FF. And Ida A., you're going to be our last share for today.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Ida A. here, grateful compulsive overeater from Northern BC. Thanks so much, Elaine. And thank you all for your shares. You make the big book come alive to me in a new way every day when I listen with open ears. So what jumped out for me today was the three words, we had assumed. And so basically, when I read the chapter, it goes like this. We had assumed, but we were wrong. Or Ida had assumed, but Ida was wrong. And today I can see when I assume, I take, like I take a small piece of information, then I make this generalized conclusion based on intel that is not accurate, and I leave my life based on wrong material. And I've done that for decades. I have done that for decades with God and with hundreds of other things. And what a gift to commence at a simpler level. And I see that today. I see that I had to start believing that God loves me and has always loved me. And the set-aside prayer is so beautiful for that. God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself, my brokenness, my spiritual path in you. And I had to do that, and I have to do that. And I see today that once I'm willing and I'm honest, because honesty has not been a way of life for Ida, but it is more so today. Anyway, once I'm willing, honest, open, man, does life change profoundly. And so does who my God is. So, yes, I still have to weed out tons of lies from childhood, and I have to plant new seeds of tolerance and patience and kindness, and I have to let go of believing that I need to control everything and everyone. But wow, God bless program, because I see it differently, and I can recognize the assumptions as wrong material, and I can jump back on asking for help and praying and doing the next right thing. So I such gratitude because I'm a different person today. I have a different relationship with my son, different relationship with coworkers. Long way to go, and that's okay. I'm signing up for forever. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Have a great day. Blessings.
Thank you very much, Ida. Such great shares today. Thank you, everybody who shared. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Robin P. please read A Vision for You? Star one to unmute, Robin, please.
Oh, sorry, I was just reading to myself. This is Robin P. Sorry about that. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen. Have a wonderful abstinent day, everybody.